is live on Joy 99.7 and Hits 103.9 FM in Accra. In Kumasi, we're on Love 99.5 FM and over 30 affiliates across Ghana, 16 regions, including Sankara FM Yendi, Laura FM Laura, and Radio Max Takrady. Get radio, TV, and online content on the MyJoyOnline.com interactive app for Android and iOS devices. Coming up, PURC insists on 5.8 million fine on ECG board members despite pushback. Meanwhile, standoff between Ashanti Region ECG and the regional minister continues as the staff maintain boycotting every meeting called by the minister until he apologizes.
As long as we have issue with him, any meeting you invite, no matter how it is, they will not go.
Also coming up, opposition NDC accuses the judiciary of usurping the powers of parliament following Supreme Court decision, declaring as unconstitutional a decision that bars dual citizens from holding high-ranking public positions in Ghana.
It's the judiciary that is now making the laws and the legislature interpreting and applying them. The judiciary has no power to exclude.
In business,
IMF classifies Ghana as middle-income country in revised regional economic outlook report. We've got details on the Joy Business Report.
And later in the bulletin, we'll tell you how a couple's love story brewed from the mortuary.
Though I was working, my attention was on her. Because the word that had been coming was touching my heart.
These are more with me, Mami Sinyamiche Thompson. We'll be right back. Now, the Public Utility Regulatory Commission insists that ECG board members must pay the 5.8 million cedi fine imposed on them. The fine, which came about due to the power distributor's failure to produce a load shedding timetable, both management and the board absolved themselves from blame, asking the regulator to set the fine aside. But after deliberations, the PURC insists on the fine. My colleague Kuja Brace has more.
PRC board is standing by their directive to the ECG board to pay an amount of 5.86 million for their failure to comply with a 3-day statutory notice required under Regulation 39 of LI 2413. They are saying that even though they received a letter from the board asking them not to do what they are doing, they still stand by their decision and that ECG has to comply with the payment of that money by the day that they've given them.
Meanwhile, the standoff between the Ashanti Regional ECG and the Regional Minister Simon Osei-Mensah is still brewing as the staff continues its boycott of security meetings. This is in reaction to the minister's insistence that he will not apologize for the arrest of its regional manager after he disconnected the Kumasi Technical Institute. Listen to National Vice Chairman of ECG Senior Staff Association, Bismarck Aduma.
He invited them to come for a meeting yesterday and we did not allow them to go.
Do you know what the meeting was about?
As long as we have issue with him, any meeting he will invite, no matter how it is, they will not go. The next will meet and take the action. But from now, any meeting the minister will invite them, we will not attend.
Are you still wearing red armbands to the
That was yesterday. We finished with that. It will end when we meet at the next. And the decision the next will take, we will go by it.
Bismarck Aduma is National Vice Chairman of ECG Senior Staff Association in an interaction with my colleague Evans Mensah. Now, the opposition NDC is accusing the judiciary of usurping the powers of parliament. It follows this week's Supreme Court decision, which declared as unconstitutional a provision which bars dual citizens from holding high-ranking positions in Ghana. CDD fellow Professor Kwaku Asare, in an earlier discussion on the Pulse and Joy News, backed the decision, urging Ghanaians not to worry if the Chief Justice of Ghana owes allegiance to another country.
Sierra Leone, Botswana, South Africa, all these countries have dual citizens actively participating and nothing has happened. In Ghana, there are people who are dual citizens who are intimately related to the decision-making process,
right?
Much more than single citizens. This has not ended the world.
But the NDC's Director of Conflict Resolution, Ibrahim Amaleba, labeled the decision as a judicial legislation that is in conflict with the law.
It is a usurpation of the powers of parliament. It has been turned upside down. It's the judiciary that is now making the laws and the legislature interpreting and applying them. The judiciary has no power to to exclude or include offices that persons who have dual citizenship can occupy or not occupy. That right and power is within the legislature.
Now, the director of communications of the Bawumia campaign team, Miracle Sabwaji, has rebuffed claims the flag bearer will choose his running mate before April ends. Speaking to Evans Mensah on Top Story, Miracle Sabwaji said Dr. Bawumia already knows who he'll present, but will not be in a rush to announce the name yet until the appropriate time.
I don't know who actually put the end of April timeline on. It was, you know that we are well within our timelines as a political party. I mean, the MPP, even Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia himself, was nominated in August 2008. So we are well within our timelines. I can tell you without any doubt that Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, as we speak, knows who he's going to nominate as his running mate. He's known it for the past 3-4 months. But at the right time, within our own timelines, within our own strategy, we would name and outdoor the running mate.
Director General of the Ghana Prison Service is urging its officers in Boko to exercise restraint in the wake of a clash with military personnel stationed in the area to maintain peace. Videos circulating on social media depict heavily armed officers in a tense confrontation. While the exact cause of the clash remains unclear, the footage reveals an officer with a severe facial injury and another expressing distress from within a pickup truck.
My God, why would you point a gun at your colleague personnel, uniform personnel? It's not their first time. I'm in prison. What is the difference? What is the difference? What kind of training your leaders are training you? Point a gun at your colleague personnel, now you fire him.
And those are excerpts from the videos on social media. Well, yesterday, leadership of the prison service has issued a statement condemning the incident and committing to a thorough investigation. Joining me in the studio is my colleague Maxwell Agbagba with more details on that statement. Maxwell, what does it say?
Well, a statement from the Director General says this is an unhealthy situation which should not have occurred, to say the least, especially between members of the country's national security institutions in a town as unstable as Boko. It says, in a bid to nip the fracas in the bud, he held an immediate teleconference with the top hierarchy of the military, the police and others within the national security architecture, even as the events were unfolding in Boko. He has also caused an investigation into the incident, which will lay bare the facts. Besides, a high-powered delegation from the prison's headquarters is on its way to the region and to the Boko local prison in order to ascertain facts of the matter and hold relevant discussions with the regional security council. It says, given the volatile nature of the incident and the sensitivity of its reportage, there's the need for all officers, and more especially those in Boko, to exercise their highest restraints whilst the requisite steps are taken by the authorities of the prisons and the army to get this matter resolved once and for all, Mamisi.
Thank you, Max Olagbaba. He's confined to crutches, but that does not in any way limit his ability to keep traffic flowing and the streets safe. This is the story of 47-year-old physically challenged Bernard Quay. For the past 11 years, he's found joy in directing traffic in parts of Accra when the lights fail. Now, Bernard believes this is his contribution to nation building. My colleague Emmanuel Jivenu has more in this report read to you.
It is evening rush hour, and vehicular congestion is building here at the Mataheko intersection.
Forward.
In this thick congestion is Bernard, a 47-year-old physically challenged. An area of hope when the traffic lights fail to shine. His story began in 2013, the peak of erratic electricity supply, leaving many traffic lights powerless. It was then that Bernard, undeterred by his own challenges, stepped up to fill the void.
Whenever I meet any traffic that I see that there is jam, within some few minutes, I'll be able to see what I could do with it, how to manage them accurately.
No motorist dares to challenge his authority. Bernard sees his work as a contribution to nation building.
I'm not doing it to praise anybody or to damn anybody. I do just to please God and to help my country, that's all.
Well, she gave up on her search for true love after two failed marriages, each living with its own scars. However, it was the death of her father and a visit to the mortuary that sparked an unexpected love story. There's more in this report by June Yami.
love sometimes finds its way through the darkest of times. Meet Gifty, a 34-year-old who has been in search of true love. In the depths of her sorrow, she discovered an unexpected beacon of love in the most unlikely places, the mortuary. But it was the loss of her father, a pillar of strength in her life, that shattered her world.
To be frank, I told the whole family that is my last marriage. I will not marry again.
The undertaker, who was hired to ready her father for his final journey, became her source of comfort in her darkest hour.
Though I was working, my attention was on her, because the word that had been coming was touching my heart.
Well, you never know where you'll find love, and that's how we end the bulletin here on Joy 99.7 FM. I am Amisi Nyamiche Thompson. Business is next on the Super Morning Show.